This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hi, Doors. I'm Lauren, and I'm here with Dean Grisolfi for Q&A with the Dean. Get ready for some silly questions and eloquent responses from our wonderful Dean of Commons. So are you ready to dive into some questions?
I'm ready.
Awesome. So we're coming off of a snowy, icy January here in Nashville, and it was a little bit slippery, and not that I ever slipped, but I was thinking a lot about breaking bones this week. So I was just wondering, have you ever broken a bone?
I have never broken a bone. This is probably related to my overall cowardly disposition towards any physical activity. But I did, when I was a kid, I was a dancer and I did a lot of ballet. And then I transitioned from ballet to theater. And so we did have to play sports at my school, but I wasn't very good. And so I really never put myself in any peril.
Okay. What sports did you play?
I played volleyball and basketball.
Okay. Those are definitely, I played basketball in elementary school. I fell a lot, but yeah, there weren't any ACL tears or anything like that. So, and you didn't have that either?
Definitely not. I mean, okay, you have good. To be like aggressive, I think, to put yeah. yourself in that kind of peril. And that was not me.
Okay. That's fair. You stayed safe. So I feel like, you know, it worked out. Okay. How much do you walk around campus on like a typical day?
Well, so some days not at all. It's a very depressing day where I have just, you know, because my house is 20 steps from the Commons, and then I have another office in Wyatt, but that's, you know, a 1 minute walk from the Commons. And so I could really, depending on my day, like really not walk at all. It's terrible. But I love to walk. And so if I have meetings across campus, I always walk. And that is actually my reputation and my team. You know, lots of other people will drive, and I will always walk, even if it's pouring rain.
Okay. And then are you an umbrella or a rain jacket person?
I do all the things, actually. Okay. I have rain boots. I have a coat and an umbrella.
Okay. Is there such a thing as rain pants or no?
Well, there is.
Oh,
yes,
really?
There is.
Okay.
So my kids go to a Waldorf school, which has a lot of emphasis on outdoors. In fact, during the pandemic, they were only outside for a whole year. And so because they're outside so much, they have a lot of rules about the clothing that the kids have to bring. And so that was when I discovered that there is such thing as rain pants. Wow. Now that my kids are older, my youngest is in fifth grade and my oldest is in seventh grade, they definitely eschew the rain pants. But when they were younger, they both had them and they had to wear them. In fact, Annika, I picked her up today. Her raincoat is saturated. It's like, were you outside today? And for a lot of the day, they were outside.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay. Because I know, like, when people come from the south, like up further north, they'll be like, what are snow pants? But I guess it's kind of the reverse with rain pants. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think you were talking about this in a previous episode this semester about like traversing campus with all the scooters and people with headphones in and that kind of thing. But you know, once you do that and you manage across campus, maybe it's raining. You haven't broken a bone obviously yet while you're walking. And you get to your desk and you sit down to your email. Are there any like pet peeves you have, comments, phrases, or topics that just kind of make you cringe when you see them in your inbox?
No one has ever asked me this question before. This is a good question, Lauren. Are there any pet peeves? I hate email anyway. Like just the very act of dealing with my email sometimes makes me sad. I do really dislike when people don't say like hi or like dear. Like a lot of the time, not a lot actually, but sometimes I'll get an email, especially from students, that says hey, and which I find really outrageous. But no, I mostly don't. I can't say other than like the sheer volume of emails I receive and then the amount of like guilt I feel about how terrible I am at keeping track of emails. I can't say I have any specific pet peeves about phrases or anything.
Okay. So you're not one of those people who's like either pro or against the fluff, we'll call it, of like, hello, I hope you're having a good day. That doesn't bother you?
No. Oh, no. I
you
think
enjoy
that is
okay.
like how we... Yes.
Okay.
It feels good and right to me.
do you have like a phrase that you put at the beginning of yours? Like, do you do the typical, I hope you're well for the first sentence?
It depends on what's happening, right? Okay. So this past weekend, like, I hope you're staying warm in the snow.
Okay.
That's, I feel like, creative. We have to acknowledge each other's humanity.
Yes. Okay. I agree. I think that's good advice and a good reminder for us all, too, guys. Cough, cough. But anyway, thank you so much, Dean Grisalvi. I'm Lauren, and that's all for Q&A with the Dean this week. Next up is Commons Calendar with Sophia.
Hey, y'all. It's Sophia with another Commons Calendar. Today, we're covering events from the 31st to the 6th. Up first, we've got Will Skills, their backpacking lecture at 12 p.m. in Featheringill Hall 138. Then Vandy Ballroom is hosting a beginner class at 7 in Branscombe Studio. Again, that's on January 31st. The Center for Student Wellbeing is hosting an event called Resisting Imposter Syndrome February 1st at 5 p.m. in the CSW. Build your own Pasta Bowl and get involved with the Vanderbilt Imperfection Project. The Casey Potter Center is hosting the Black and LGBTQIA plus photo history exhibit all month. However, they're hosting a reception on February 1st at 5, where you can enjoy the exhibit and get free food. World Hijab Day is also on the 1st, and from 6 to 9, the Muslim Student Association and the South Asian Cultural Exchange will be hosting a speaker and panel event in the SLC Ballroom. Friday the 2nd is the Commons Ball. The theme is Vandywood, and it's held at the Commons Center. I'm personally very excited to see them transform the space into whatever Vandywood is going to look like. A lot of people have put work into it, and it's exciting. On the 3rd, the National Student Speech, Language, and Hearing Association and the School of Medicine are hosting an event where you can make Valentine's Day cards for local nursing home residents. That's from 1 to 3 at the Broadview on Vandy the 3rd. The Tango Club is hosting a Argentine Tango workshop and potluck on the 4th from 11:30 to 2 p.m., which is immediately followed by a dance party from 2 to 5 p.m. The ASL Club is meeting on February 5th, Monday at 4 in Commons 320. The Vanderbilt Business Exploration Club is hosting a guest speaker from 5 to 5:45. Their guest speaker is Adam Scheimer, who attended Northwestern and is a current student at Harvard Business School and has experience working for various cities and nonprofits. That's being held in Stevenson 4327. Careers in Medicine and the Vanderbilt School of Medicine are hosting a current dermatology research opportunity event where you can learn about current dermatology research opportunities. That's Tuesday, February 6th from 6 to 7 in the Estkind Biomedical Library Room 237. I have no idea if I said Eskind, right? Because I'm not a current med student because I don't hate myself. So that's all for me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week.
Hey, I'm Saria Muhammad, your host for this week's Humans of the Commons interview, and I'm here today with a very special guest who's an opinion staffer at The Hustler, a radio host on Vandy Radio, and a co-script writer for Harambe.
Hello, my name is Swati Berry. I am a poli-sci and English major with a possible minor in AADS. Like Saria said, I am on The Hustler. I am co-writing for Harambe, and I am doing too much stuff to count, so.
So we're going to be talking about your piece. Your piece was honestly breathtaking, like, and it was really, really well written. And it was quite inspiring. Like, I know many resonated with it and felt motivated to pursue a path that, like, they truly enjoyed. So what compelled you to write this inspiring piece?
Well, like the title says, I quit pre-med 2 weeks into college. Well, I guess we can start with the fact that I always wanted to do law, but I don't know, I just let things get into my head. So I said, you know what, I'll just do pre-med because it kind of sounds better. So I came here, did pre-med. It was interesting. Yeah. I think I had a panic attack during one of the classes, and I was sitting right in the front. And it was the day, what's his name? I forgot his name.
Phillips.
Yeah. Yes, that man. He started cold calling in class, and I was just like, yeah, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So had my panic attack. I had discussion right after that. Didn't know what was going on. I don't know a shit about energy. Ooh, am I a
lost person? Yeah.
I don't know nothing about energy. And so then I joined the Hustler, and you need two pieces to be considered a staff writer. So I was trying to find something that I would like to write about. So I was like, wait, okay, I can write about me quitting, because we go to Vanderbilt, such a high achieving school, and everyone here is just like a stickler for everything they do. I can't blame you. I'm the same way. And so I wanted to write a piece where people can be like, oh, wait, I can quit. Maybe sometimes it's okay to quit.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely okay to quit, guys. And I'm quite curious about like why you decided to pursue the pre-med track, like initially, like
my parents.
Okay.
My parents, that's it. I'm from an African household, you know the vibes. Engineer, pre-law or pre-med. There is no other career. But I always wanted to be a lawyer. I think I have a pre-law personality, like,
yeah, for
I'm
sure
better at critical thinking, analysis, than I am at, like, calculations. So, you know, I'm just glad I tried it out, realized it wasn't for me, and now I can just pursue something I want.
So reflecting on your decision to quit, how has it positively impacted your well-being, academic pursuits, and your future goals?
I'm happy. I am so much more happier. Oh, my God. I felt like a brick just, like, lifted off my shoulders when I dropped the classes. Unfortunately, I didn't drop calc, but that's neither here or there.
Yeah.
I felt happy. I felt great. I felt, honestly, if I didn't quit pre-med, I would not be doing the things I'm doing. I probably would have officially quit my radio show. I probably would have not been a staffer on The Hustler. I would not have joined Harambe, because I just wouldn't have time, because I would be so busy just stressing. Because, like, you got to go to tutoring every day.
True.
Because, like, even if you're the best science person, it's just hard. And I'm not the best science person. So just times that by 50. So.
Yeah. And, like, going to school, like, we're both from the Bronx. Like, there isn't many.
I didn't have a real science teacher until, like, I took the Earth Science Regents in eighth grade. That was my first real science teacher since like third grade.
Yeah.
And then I went to high school, and then our science teacher, I had 3 years of science, but y'all know COVID. So I did chemistry online, and was I really doing chemistry online?
True.
That wasn't a real class. And then he left and I did forensics. So I didn't have like a science class or a really good math class. Welcome to New York.
Yeah, and it sucks because they say there's, like, no prerequisites for these classes, but it feels like there are prerequisites because, like, you come in first day and they're talking about, oh, this should be review, you should know this, like, discussion, you go into discussion, you ask them a question, and they're like, this is actually basic math, like, and it's, like, so disheartening because, like, you're expecting them to teach you, but they're expecting you to know, which sucks.
Yeah, that's why I hated my discussion day. We were doing energy and I had no idea what I was doing. So I asked the question, they're like, well, it's energy. And I'm like, well, that doesn't really help me, babe.
I know it doesn't. And it sucks. Lab is even worse. Like first day of lab.
I asked like 50 questions in lab and I didn't leave until like 10 minutes after the bell rang. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me.
And it's okay if it isn't. So you emphasize the importance of mental and physical health, and you mentioned neglecting them to taste perfection. How did you recognize that it was time to make a change, and what were the signs you observed in yourself?
Well, I've always been a perfectionist since, like, middle school. I thought what I couldn't make up, like, physical-wise, I could make up with my brain.
Yeah.
So I always tried to be the best in everything I did, and
I had like a lot of mental breakdowns when I wasn't quote unquote the best. Like while waiting for Questbridge, that was the most stressful period of my life because I was just like, you're not going to get in. You're not going to get in. I'm really bad with self-doubt. But honestly, before I got here, I tried to change my thinking because I was like, wait. I'm going to Vanderbilt University.
Yeah.
I was good enough out of the 60 students to get in here. So that probably means something. And it's just like, I'm never going to be perfect. But as long as I'm, because one day, like when I'm older, I always say this. My philosophy in life is when someone asks me when I'm older and like how my life has been and all I can give them is monetary value, like my job,
yeah,
then I haven't lived my life. And so I wasn't going to do like 7 years of school and then just realize I'm not happy and then have to like change my career in the end of the day. So it's just like, sometimes you have to step back. Sometimes you have to have a panic attack. And honestly, there's going to be people who's going to try to dissuade you from quitting because quitting has such a negative connotation, even though it shouldn't. But like, they're going to try to stop you from quitting, but you just got to look them in the eye and be like, you're not in my shoes. That's right, so now. True, you're, yeah, not in my head. You don't know what's going on. If I'm genuinely telling you I'm not happy, don't try to convince me it's going to get better because it's not.
It's not. Like, if you're not happy now, you're not going to be happy then. So, like, you mentioned that sometimes quitting is the answer. Like, how did you overcome any social and self-imposed stigma associated with the act of quitting? And what lessons did you learn from the experience?
Honestly, I just make jokes about it. I remember I quit. I dropped the class. I talked to my advisor. After, like, my new classes, I went back to my dorm and I was like, guess who quit from there? Like, honestly, there's, like, what? There's so many majors here. And even then, we're only taking gen ed classes right now. So it's not like you're getting straight into your major. So to me, it wasn't really that bad. And, like, people were like, oh, but you quit. And I was like, and I would do it again. Yes. Like, you just got to be confident in your decision. Like, someone's always going to talk about it. Someone's always going to make fun of it. But as long as you can look in the mirror and be like, yeah, okay, I knew that was the right decision for me, then you're fine.
So what advice would you give the other first generation students who may be contemplating a major change or facing uncertainty about their academic direction?
I would say list out everything you like about the courses you're taking and the major you want to pursue, and then list out everything you don't like. And you got to be very honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot force yourself to put more positives than negatives. Like, genuinely think about it. Be like, am I happy? Because I didn't like getting out of bed in the morning when I had to go to chemistry. Like, I had a really fun class before chemistry.
Yeah.
And then the walk to Stevenson is so depressing for me.
That's so true.
Like, the sky is gloomy. I'm just so sad. And, like, it's my first year in college. I worked so hard to get here. And now I'm spending every single day just being sad. And I don't want to be sad. Like, I'm not perfectly happy right now, but, like, it's better than being constantly depressed. So I would say, honestly, you know yourself the best. You know when it's time to, like, let go. And if you don't know, it's time to find out. Because if you genuinely don't even picture yourself in the career because you probably think you can't last, maybe it's time to reevaluate. Maybe it's time to step back and just say, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, some people like myself didn't recognize the signs and are still in denial. Can you elaborate on the specific signs or feelings that led you to consider quitting your initial path?
Sadness. I felt so tired in every single chemistry class. Like, he was speaking fast, and I was writing notes. And every time I did the top hat, I was like, great, another question I did wrong.
Yeah.
And then
it also sucks, like, if your teacher is, like, old-fashioned, who doesn't freaking write on an iPad or, like, writes everything on the whiteboard, and you'd be like, oh, you guys understand? Great. Next slide. Like, it's so annoying. Like,
and the chem classes here are large. Like, people are sitting on the aisles because it's just that big.
Yeah.
So there's really no time to, like, ask questions. And, yeah, I understand. It's so scary to ask a question in a group room full of people because it's just like,
What if I just sound stupid? But I also had a lot of anxiety in the beginning of the semester. Like, I was just constantly anxious.
Was it just for chemistry or just, like, all your classes?
It was, honestly, it was just for chemistry. My calc anxiety hadn't started yet at that point. But it was definitely chem. And then I thought about, like, the exams, and I was just, like, dreading it. And honestly, I just felt like this is going to sound terrible, but I felt dumb. And honestly, that was not fair to myself because I didn't grow up in, like, the best schools with the best teachers. Yeah. So it's really not my fault. But honestly, I don't want to be in a place where I can't show my best skills.
Yeah.
If I'm a better writer, then I am a better calculator. So why am I not pursuing classes where I could write and be creative and just show my talents, because I think I can do it? And it's great to think you can do things, but honestly, we can't do everything. And there's going to be things where you have to quit, and you're going to be in denial for a while. Yeah. Like, it's hard.
Even after you make that decision.
Like, even after you drop the class, you're going to be in denial for such a long time. It just takes time. It takes finding yourself. That's college. But since this is all gen ed class, take a fun class. After I dropped chem, I took a gender in the city class. And it was my best class. Like, I really loved that class because it was genuinely so interesting.
Yeah.
So I would also tell people to do that. Stop taking classes. Stop only taking pre-med classes. Because if you only take, because a lot of pre-med people here only take, like, chem, biology, and then calculus. So all of their credits are math and science credits. So they don't really, and if they're taking a writing course, they're taking like the first one they see. Like, genuinely look through the writing courses because they're so interesting. I feel like everyone should take social science classes to really, really gauge, do I want to do this?
Yeah. And they don't, we oftentimes don't explore because we've, like, already had our mindset that, oh, we're going to be pre-med, or, oh, we're going to be engineer. And, like, we never explore. But it's, like, amazing if, like, for instance, you're in the arts and sciences, like, there's so many other classes to explore. So, yeah. Oh. You make a statement that if something doesn't feel right initially, it would never feel like feel right externally. Can you elaborate on that?
Once again, this was mostly about my mental health.
Yeah.
If genuinely my body feels weak inside every single time I go to that class, I'm never, like, out, like, you're never gonna look at me from the outside and be like, oh yeah, she likes doing this.
Yeah.
And then if I continue to pursue something I knew I would never really enjoy, I knew that it would just drain me inside and out. And, like, I can look on, 5 years from now, be in med school, and I'm still miserable because it didn't feel right now. And we love to think it's going to get better over time. Some things do, some things don't. I say pick your battles. Chemistry was not going to, no.
Pick them wisely, because you never know.
You never know.
But enough of all this depressing stuff. Tell us about Harambe. Tell us about the Hustler.
Ooh, these are my favorite topics. Okay, so let's talk about Harambe. So Harambe, if you don't know, it's the biggest African student union event every single year. And it's a play, it's a fashion show, it's a talent showcase. It's everything African and everything, like, it's just so beautiful. I've never been to one, but I've watched them online. Yeah. And I love writing. I write stories. I post them online. And so when I was like, you can be a scriptwriter, I was like, wait, I kind of want to do that. So I applied, and I got it with my co-scriptwriter, Anthony. And it's so much fun. It's a lot of work. It's very stressful. It is very stressful because it is huge.
Yeah.
Like, when it's in Langford, that's how big it is. And so yesterday, we officially finished the script. Woo! It's going to be, if y'all want to watch drama, comedy, if y'all want to see a play about mental health, if y'all want to see romance,
her.
If y'all want to see comedy, then why aren't you? Then you better buy your tickets when they come out. Like, don't miss out. Don't be lame. Don't be lame. Yeah. Go.
I'm so ready.
Even if you never, like, I love experiencing different cultures. Café con leche, it was so good.
So good.
I was having a time.
It was so good.
And especially if you're not a part of that culture, I think everyone should brand out and, like, be introduced to different cultures. Because this is the South. And I know a lot of people here haven't been introduced. Because I know y'all don't know what Fulani is. So why don't you come to the play and see what it is?
Yeah.
And then there's the Hustler. I just became a staff member on Monday.
Oh, per.
A full staff member because I published my second piece, which was about the tweens in Sephora crisis.
Oh, yes.
And I was just basically like, y'all are annoying. Y'all can't blame teens. We do the same thing.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to write another piece. It's a letter to Black Vandy. It's basically a letter to class of 2028. And I hope to interview freshman reps of like BSA, ASU, CSA, Strands, Revamp, things like that. So like, because it's so scary, especially when you're Black and you're coming to a predominantly white institution, because you're like afraid of the culture shock.
Yeah.
You're afraid you're not going to find a community. But honestly, I want class of 2028 to know like there's a really strong community here. And there's places, there's something for everybody. There's a club for everything. And like, so that's will be my first piece of the semester, hopefully. I still have to generate questions, but I'm excited.
So how are you liking everything so far? How's like your semester going?
My schoolwork is ramping up.
Yup.
It's getting real now. It's getting a little too real now.
Those 2 weeks, they feel so fast.
No, they did. I miss syllabus week. I also miss when my classes were canceled almost every single day. Speaking of, my English class was just canceled because my teacher was sick. Yay! it's not that funny. I feel better, Miss Ma'am. So definitely the workload is starting to pile up and it's going to get worse in February because I'm counting all the things I'm doing this semester. I just started working at the BCC. I'm doing something else, but y'all going to have to wait for that one. Yeah. Y'all going to have to wait for the reveal of that one. And so I'm just completely busy. So I'm definitely going to feel it soon. Like, it's starting to ramp up, but it's really fun. I feel like now that I'm not taking calc, I'm so much lighter. Yeah. I mean, like, I have, like, a huge workload because all my classes are writing-centered.
Wait. What made you keep calc, though?
Great question. I don't know. Okay. I was doing well in the beginning, and then I took the first exam, and then it all went downhill from there. And then by the time we took, like, the first exam, the drop ad period was over.
Oh, okay.
So, and I didn't want a W on my transcript, but I'm probably going to take stats, because I took stats in high school. I just didn't pass the exam. Let's not talk about that. But, I'm definitely, like, this is a much better semester. We're up this semester. We're never down.
Never down.
Never down.
So, yeah. So, thank God we're ending on a positive note because all this pre-med stuff is quite depressing. And I also just recently left the engineering school. So, like, I'm excited about that, going on the pre-law track. And I say your piece was quite the motivator for it. Because, like, during, what was it, winter break, I think it published December 20th?
Yes.
I think?
Yes.
I was just sitting around and I got a notification. I'm like, ooh, let me read this. And then I read it and then I was just like, wow, this is just honestly so amazing. And I was telling my older sister about this piece and she was like, wow, like, this girl's a good writer. I'm like, yes, she is. And then recently just started getting to know her and she's an amazing person, so.
Yeah, my brother read the piece. Oh, I sent it to him. He was like, he really loved the first piece. And he was like, I'm an amazing writer. Honestly, that's the first time a single one of my family members have ever read my writing. Because my writing is very personal to me. But it was really nice. It was so sweet. I really miss my brother. He goes to Tufts.
Oh, purr.
Purr.
And like yesterday we were sitting at the BCC and someone said that like your piece was like so inspiring that they used it for a class.
That shocked me. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Whoa, hold on now.
So there's like many positive things about it. Have you like heard anything about your piece?
My editors have said they loved it. They said I'm doing amazing. My pieces are really good. My teachers from my last school, my English teacher, she also loved it. My mentors, they really enjoyed it. And my mentors, they read my college essays, like they were helping me.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh my God, your writing has improved so much.
Yeah.
And I love that. I'm not one to really take compliments like that. I get really awkward.
Yeah.
I just start smiling. But it's things like that, like especially when people know you for such a long time. And I'm glad the piece came out at the best time, like right before the second semester. I think that was perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm glad people are enjoying it. That makes me really happy.
Yeah, it was really, really good. But thank you for coming today. And thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow us at mycommons.life. Follow our Instagram at mycommonslife. And tune in next week. Bye.
Bye.
CommonsCast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.